Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is a portion of the Holy Gospel, specifically the following verse. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Under the theme this morning, the power of your Epiphany, Lord. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in politics, business, education, even sports, people recognize the need to be powerful. Today, the most powerful team may just win the Super Bowl, and they may not. The teams whose offensive or defensive line controls the line of scrimmage usually will win. But outside of sports, people are on an unending journey to the very top. And once you reach the top, while you have all the power, the need for power in this world today is relentless, nearly unstoppable. Mark tells us today about power, yet he tells us about real power. Power that is beyond human ability. Power that is supernatural, demonic, or the power of your Epiphany, Lord. My dear friends, we must admit to ourselves that the prince of this world, known as Satan, the devil, the great red dragon, as we hear in the book of Revelation, he has power. From the beginning, Satan willed that he wanted to be God. The devil and all his evil angels who followed him, they rebelled against God's power. They rebelled against his word. And when you rebel against someone's word, you're placing yourself above them. Today, we may call that powerful. We may even call it foolish. But in today's society, we know it as pride. And as you and I look at the world today, we know that the world is very prideful. This is a very narcissistic society. It's me, myself, and I. And it's only me, myself, and I. It is my truth. It is my way. It is my life. Pride. Narcissism. Yet, we hear from our text this morning that Satan does not have power over God's word. Therefore, he lost his bid to replace God. And he now lies under eternal damnation. Since Satan didn't have the power to replace God or his word, he turned his fierce anger against God's good creation. He turned his anger against that which God created perfectly, Adam and Eve. Adam went to Adam and Eve and he deceived them by saying, "Did God really say?" You see, Satan was trying to lead Adam and Eve down that path that God's word cannot be trusted, that God's word is not powerful, that if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes too will be opened, and you'll know the difference between good and evil. You see, God doesn't want you to be a god because you are a god. Satan wanted them to be the first narcissist, the first beings full of pride. And therefore, Eve reached out and took the fruit, and Adam was right there with her. Adam was more responsible than Eve. And in their sin, together, they opened rebellion. They opened the battle against their Creator. They sinned against God. Adam and Eve came under judgment, and they lost their special, their perfect, their lasting fellowship with God. Sin has now come into the world, And the result of sin is death, both physical and, yes, spiritual. Power. We now lie under power. Those who are not Christians, those who do not believe that Jesus is their Messiah, they are now under the power of the evil one. And they are his instruments of his evil will. Once you and I were under this same power before our baptism. Once you and I had absolutely no hope. Satan had the opportunity to bear you and me away into eternal condemnation, along with himself and all his evil angels. For those of you who do not truly believe that God is God, or that Jesus is your Savior, or that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, if you blaspheme God, you lie under eternal condemnation because you believe the word that is not true. You are living and believing a lie. And we know that in this world, you and I, our words, have no power over Satan. It reminds me of a famous old Lutheran hymn that all of you know very well. It's right there in your hymnal, hymn 262. The first verse, the first portion of the first stanza, and it reads, "The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal." That's you and me. We are not equal to the word that Satan tries to deceive us. We have no power over his word. And that's why, my dear friends, your prince came from heaven. The valiant one who took the field for you. And he came to overthrow Satan. And he came to overthrow Satan by his word and by his deeds. He overthrew Satan here at this cross by saying, "It is finished." The battle was over. Satan was defeated. Your sin and my sin was forgiven. Today in our text, though, we hear Jesus being confronted by Satan and his evil minions. Jesus Christ, the God-man, came to defeat Satan and to rescue each one of you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Yet Satan does not give up. Satan still tries to lead you and me and anyone who will listen to his lies away from the truth. For Satan knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows that his word is true. And if he can get you to believe a lie, then he has done his duty. And he will drag you along with himself and all of his evil angels right straight to hell. But Jesus Christ is your soul champion. He is your great champion. And he is your only hope. Jesus is the only hope for all mankind. He alone is the worthy one who has defeated your old evil foe. The power of your Epiphany, Lord, who revealed, who showed forth his great power, has restored creation, and he has won for you the kingdom of God in the forgiveness of all your sins. Yes, you look outside today and you think, well, creation certainly hasn't been restored, but it has, but not yet. It's the great paradox. What Jesus has won for us here, the restoration of the kingdom, your place and my place in the kingdom, it is not yet, but it is true. It has already happened. And yet it has happened here at the cross. Jesus has won all of this for you. You, yes, each of you have been restored. You have been purchased back. The shackles of sin have been released from you, and they have fell right back to where they belong, back into hell. Because your Creator, Your heavenly Father accepted the sacrifice of His Son. And it's by His blood that you have been cleansed and purified and made holy. It is here at the font where you are, by the Word of God, cleansed and purified and made holy. Because God has done this for you. You once again bear His image. When God looks at you, He sees Himself. And when God sees Himself, He is overjoyed. He sees Himself. And He can say to you, "My dear child, you have done well. You have believed in the Worthy One, the Lamb of God who has taken away your sin. Enter into My kingdom, prepared for you before the foundation of the world." Thanks be to Jesus. You see, my friends, the prince of this world is now Jesus. He has thrown out the usurper. Jesus has reclaimed that which was His from the beginning. He has come and He has won your soul. Today we hear one of Satan's evil angels recognizing Jesus. If you notice from the text, it wasn't the man who recognized Jesus. It was the demon who recognized Jesus. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The man was possessed by many demons, but the most powerful demon, he did all the talking. No different than today, isn't it? The powerful do all the talking, but their words are really a deception. Just like with this demon, he was doing all the talking, but his words were really deceiving, even though he did speak the truth by saying that Jesus is the Holy One of God. But his whole purpose was to convince the people that this one who is the Holy One of God isn't your Messiah. He's not the Messiah of God. Oh yes, He's Jesus the Holy One, but He's not your King. Jesus clearly recognized what this demon was doing. And Jesus clearly sees through his deception. And He tells him to be silent, to be muzzled, to stop talking, and to come out. And when Jesus speaks, it happens. When the Lord speaks His word, it must happen, because His word is the power, and it is the truth, and it is the life. The evil spirit is seized with fear, and he convulses the man and comes out of him with a great shriek, because he is no match for the words of the Son of God. Isn't it interesting? It's interesting to me, and I pray that it's interesting to you, that the evil spirit cries out, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God," yet thousands and thousands and millions of people, they say that Jesus isn't God. Jesus isn't the Savior. The spirit world knows full well who Jesus is, but Satan and all his evil has convinced thousands and millions that Jesus, oh, he may be a holy one, but he's not the Savior, and he's not your Savior. If you believe in me, I will give you what you desire, power and pride and money and all those things that will not save you. You see, by the Logos speaking, the Logos is revealing for you and me that He is truth, that His word is truth. And then when Jesus speaks, Jesus is the one who was and is and always will be. It is Jesus who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It is Jesus who said, "All your sins are forgiven," and therefore they are forgiven. You see, the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. He is God made manifest. He is God in the flesh. And He has done this not for Himself. He has done it for each and every one of you. Therefore, my dear friends, this morning, this Logos is present. The Word is here. And when Jesus speaks, His Word is true. Today, here at this altar, He is here to serve you. And when he says, take, eat, this is my body, that's exactly what he means. Because his word is truth. It is his body. When he says, take, drink, this is my blood, that's what it is. It is his blood for you. And then he says, words that are so, so important for you and me, given for the remission of all your sin. When God says your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. There's no room for doubt. If you doubt today, if there's anger in your heart, if you don't believe that Jesus is your Messiah, this is not the place for you this morning. For when you take that power into your body, you will be condemning yourself. Because his word is truth. It is not a lie. So therefore, my friends, the invitation has been made. Jesus says, come. Come to my holy table. And here receive from me my body and my blood, given for you. Yes, given for you. For the remission of all your sins. For the forgiveness. Yes, the forgiveness of all your sins. And this is the power of your Epiphany, Lord. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.